her ministry and about how we can see what Jesus is doing and do that ourselves. So I will invite Mrs. Lee to come forward and I'll pray for her and then she can share with us. Lord Lee, we thank you for everything you give us, Lord. And Lord, as we reflect on those songs, we can't but hear the call again, go and make disciples. Father, we pray that we would do that. Lord, we pray for Mrs. Lee as she shares today that your spirit would be with her, that her words would be yours, and that through her you would speak to us. And we pray that trusting in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Mrs. Lee.
Thanks. Hi, good morning, brothers and sisters and friends. Yeah, today I have chosen Matthew chapter 9. Well, I didn't put it on my PowerPoint. Okay, so if you have the Bible on your phone or iPad or hard copy, you may want to turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. It says that Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciple, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Okay, you may wonder why I'm here. Okay, I'm from Toronto, and how long ago? I have been back for 8 years. My family used to serve in Thailand, Northern Thailand, for almost 10 years, about 9.5 years there. I have 3 boys, and two were born in Canada and 1 born in Hong Kong. They are not born in Thailand. So we served there for about 10 years. My husband is Keith Lee. He's a pastor and he do pastoral training between Northern Thailand and also went to Myanmar or Burma. And so after we returned back 8 years ago, we stationed in Toronto. He's the director of Go International Canada, which is a mission organization. And yeah, I think that's why I'm here, because I also helped my husband to design some Chinese mission Sunday school curriculum. And today I choose this passage, and the topic is "See what Jesus saw, do what Jesus did." And when I asked my son, "Oh, is it too long, the title?" And then he said, he was quiet for a minute, and then he said, "No, it's quite good." Okay, so that's encouraging me. Yeah, he's 18, and he's going to Seneca College in September to study aviation. And then his plan is after graduate, he will join the Mission Aviation Fellowship. So I'm really glad that God called him to continue the mission work. And yeah, first of all, I would like to give you the geographic information about Galilee. According to the Jewish historian who lived in at the time of Christ, tell us that there were about 200 cities and villages in that region with 15,000 people in the smallest of them. So that means there were at least 3 million people in the region. Taking notes that Jesus went about in all Galilees, and he went into all cities and villages. It is reasonable to assume that the majority of these 3 million people would have some direct exposure to Jesus. And Jesus worked for the people of this land who were described in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16 as sitting in darkness. Jesus was the light shining in the darkness, and Jesus brought the light of truth and hope to them in 3 ways. According to today's passage, verse 35, we can see teaching, proclaiming, and healing. These are the work that is needed to bring truth and hope to the people in darkness. And in Jesus' time, sickness means they have do something wrong or having sinned, so they have the sickness. And to get healed, that means they are experiencing forgiveness and mercy from God. And so Jesus cares people's physical needs and also their salvation. Today, Christians talk about holistic mission. The root meaning of the word holistic is whole. Christians realize the world is broken and incomplete, falling short of the glory God intended at the end of creation. Through holistic ministry, Christian community responds to the world's brokenness by proclaiming and modeling the joy of a right relationship with God in Christ and participating in the ongoing kingdom work of personal and social restoration. As Christ is making us whole, God's Spirit works through us to bring wholeness to others. Holistic ministry is the church bold calling to share the good news of God's salvation through word and deed. Holistic ministry can be summarized as reaching your community with the whole gospel for the whole person through the whole church. Let the Holy Spirit transform people's hearts while we show our caring to the needy people and doing holistic ministry together. Jesus told us to go and make disciples in all nations. We are not just inviting people to come to our church. We need to go outside of the church and reach the needy people, people who are still sitting in the darkness. There is an organization called Move In, and let us watch one of their testimony.
When you grow up in a place like St. Jamestown, your number one goal in life is to get out of St. Jamestown. I came to faith at a crucial time in my life. I came to faith in my late teens, and at that point, God started doing things in my life, and the first thing he did was he opened my eyes. Suddenly, I started looking at my neighbors through a different lens, through the lens of Christ, and I started seeing them for how God saw them, and I started to love them. And this is my Move In story. I realized that I couldn't reach people alone. At just the right time, I met Move In. I heard about Move In, and I heard about what they were doing, and that they were planning to start a team in St. Jamestown, and so I got connected and tried to see how I could be involved in that. My first attempt at starting a team kind of failed. The two girls who were part of the team, just circumstances, they were moving, they were in transition, and so their commitment level wasn't the same, and I remember being so frustrated that I almost gave up. God didn't give up, and I ended up at another connection day at some point 2 years later. Next thing you know, I met 600 individuals who were highly committed and interested in being part of this team. I just would say that it was worth the wait. So St. Jamestown is actually the most densely populated community in all of Canada. So that's a lot of people. More than half of them are from outside Canada, new immigrants to this country. More than half of the community lives below the poverty line. There's like people from every country here. Like, that is so multicultural. And one of the reasons there's a lack of social stability, which makes change happen, is because people don't stay very long. It's a very transient community. People stay for a short period, they move on, they get a job, they move out. So no one wants to stay here. I know that there's like three kinds of people that can make change happen in the community. There's relocators, so that's move-iners. Returners, so people who moved out, got an education, and decided, I'm going to go back and serve my community and move back to the community, the neighbors. So that's people who are currently living here, our neighbors. And it's in this partnership that we can make change happen. So that's what Move In is all about. It's about not us, oh, look at us, what we're doing. It's about how can we be part of the community and be part of the change that's happening. So I'm a very task-oriented person, and I thought, Move In prayer. And then one of my team members said to me one day, oh, we need to eat together too. And I was like, eat? Why? We don't have time for that. We're busy people. But we started doing it, and now it ended up being like the best thing for us, and I can't see us not doing it because we found family in this, and eating together just has brought us that much closer, that much quicker. We eat together, and we take turns. The guys we've had some neighbors and some friends around the neighborhood come and join us in the prayer. So we'll join us in the prayer time. And it's a great time of community. And it's just been amazing to watch the unity that's come out of this. Like us sharing our lives with each other, it's brought us that much closer. And our neighbors, they see that love. They see the community that we have with each other. They feel comfortable being part of that as well. So that's been really great. One of the greatest joys since moving in has been to see God answer prayers, and He just does it in such a crazy way. Like, we were praying, God help us to meet neighbors at this time. They just started coming to us. Like, some neighbors would knock on our door randomly, and they were there by accident, or they were looking for someone else. And we've actually started to develop relationships with those people. One of our neighbors was looking for a job, and he was struggling for a while, trying to find something. He has a background in accounting, and he's just no one's giving him a shot. So I told him that our team would pray for him, and we told him that we pray on his face. We started praying for him, and I would check in with him every week to see if he got a job. And then a couple weeks later, he came and was really excited, and he said, "Michelle, I got a job." And so now he just started this week, and him and his wife came over the other day, and we were celebrating. We had a dinner with them. And he's just really grateful that we've been praying for him and his wife too. They're just really grateful that we care so much that we pray for him every week. It was through this team that I realized that I really love St. Jamestown, and I'm just dying to do full-time ministry here. And I've been serving at a church in Toronto, but my heart is here. And just recently, God opened the doors, and I'm going to be joining Toronto City Mission on staff and going to be doing some work in the community. So that's really exciting for me that I'll get to now do, like, have my whole heart, like, working here in this community and meeting the neighbors, working with them. So a lot of people would say, "Oh, where are you from?" "I'm from St. Jamestown." They'd be like, "Oh, St. Jamestown." I even have relatives who just couldn't wait to get out because of the reputation that the community has. But since God changed my heart for the community and started showing me His love for the community, I started seeing it through new eyes. And our God is a God who redeems. He's a God who renames. He recreates. And all over scripture, He gave people new names. And it was to show that they weren't who they were once. They're now a new person in Christ. They're a new person. So I think that communities like St. Jamestown, they just need new names. People to start believing for what they could be. Just seeing how God has already been working. He's paving the way. He's here. And He was just waiting for us to just follow what He's doing and follow Him what He's doing. So join Him.
So you can see her joy on his face, and like as she mentioned that it's God who changed her eyes, and then he can see people through Jesus' lens, the lens of Jesus. And he joined Move In and work as a team in a poor community. It's always better to work as a team than alone. That the member can support each other in prayer and also prevent temptation while witnessing God in that kind of community. Although the first team didn't work out well, Michelle didn't give up, and she waited for 2 years for second team to come. So never give up when you try to serve God or preaching the gospel, and at first the people may ignore you, but don't give up. Although the first team didn't work out, but the second team was good for them. She also mentioned that it's worth to wait, and they share life together with the laborers. And it was so amazing to see how God answered prayers, and also, like she said, bring people accidentally to her door. And I think it's never accidentally. Once we willing to reach out a community, God will bring people to us. See things through the lens of Jesus. Do you see what Jesus saw? Not just see through the lens of Jesus, but feel how Jesus felt towards non-believers. Verse 36 tells us that when Jesus saw the people, he felt compassion on them because they are distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. We may know that the job of a shepherd is to take care of the sheep from dangerous environment and also from wild animal attack. One interesting fact about sheep is that if a sheep fall on their back, like four legs up in the air, it cannot get back by themselves without the aim of the shepherd. Left in this condition, helpless and vulnerable to their enemies, they will die after a few days or a few hours. What a picture of sinners apart from the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Outwardly, they may look calm and comfortable. They may be successful in worldly terms, but Jesus sees their heart before God. They are licked up, unable to free themselves from their sin. Jesus saw lost people as sheep without a shepherd. The Jewish religious leaders should have been shepherding these people, pointing them to God. But instead, they were self-righteous and self-seeking, looking down on the common people as sinners. How about you? What do you think? How you feel when you see people entrapped in sin? What goes on within you when you see homeless on the street, disgust or sorrow? What thoughts go through your mind when you see people suffer from immorality of our society? Maybe a single teen mom or people with AIDS? Let me challenge you to give serious consideration to the example that Jesus has set for us in our response to those enslaved by sin. Jesus has moved with compassion, and so should we. Jesus did not see them as the enemy, and neither should we. We should see them as sheep without a shepherd. Jesus' compassion did not end with a feeling, but move on to ministry. We need to ask God to give us the heart that Jesus had for the lost people and do what Jesus did. We were once lost, and this is how God's love revealed among us. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. 1 John 4:9. This is why the most important message to tell people is the gospel. It is only Jesus can redeem us from our wrongdoing, and we can always have hope in him. Last July, I went back to Lofton, Thailand with a short-term mission team, and I go visit a couple. They are missionary from Philippines, and they start a new ministry. They teach some girls how to sew, sewing with sewing machine. They are not just common girls. They were sold as prostitute before. And after they believe Jesus and they want something that they can earn their own living, but not selling their bodies, so the missionaries start the sewing school to them. Not just teaching them sewing, but they have a Bible study and prayer together daily. Those girls have to learn to forgive, especially their parents who sold them when they were young. Only Jesus' love truly healed those girls. And this is the core value of holistic mission. We care people's physical and psychological needs, but most important is they need the salvation from Jesus in order to have hope to move on in their life and also have eternal life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can go to the Father but through Jesus. When Jesus saw the people like sheep without shepherd, he didn't send his disciple to help right the way. Jesus told his disciple that ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore to send out workers into his harvest field. Jesus told his men to pray first. Prayer is very important in mission, on mission field, and also our prayer support to our missionary is very important. Seeing the harvest field bought into the barn is God's work. He must till the soil of the heart. He must water the seed of the word that is planted, and he must cast the sunshine of grace upon the lost heart, or there will never be a harvest. You see, the new birth, newborn in Christ is a miracle. It is the awesome work of God in a human heart. Only he can do it, and we must pray over the harvest. Notice Jesus told them to pray, the Lord of harvest will send forth laborers into the harvest. As we develop a burden for the lost and begin to pray for them, as we should, the Lord develop a compassion for them within our own heart. I encourage you to pray for the missionary that your church are supporting, getting to know them, find their prayer letters, look up information about their country, where they are serving, and pray for the local people that they would open their heart to accept Christ as their personal savior. Can we see the need today? The starting place is to pray, trusting God will do his work in the harvest. He will send forth laborers. Well, of course, they might just be us. Before we start God's mission, we must pray, just like in Acts chapter 13, the church of Antioch, they prayed together, and the Holy Spirit said, delegate Barnabas and Paul for a special job I have for them. And then the church leaders lay their hands on them and send them on their way. That's how they start their mission, in prayer, and then Holy Spirit lead them. And a lot of testimony tell us that it is through prayer that missions start. Just like in 1806, long time ago, five students, they start meeting together and pray about missionary service. And suddenly their prayer meeting was interrupted by a thunderstorm. And so they just took shelter under a haystack until the sky cleared. And then the prayer group is called Haystack Prayer Group. And well, it's starting with five students. And then later on, more students joined them, and they founded the American Mission Board. And after 150 years, the American Board has sent out nearly 5,000 missionaries to 34 different countries or mission fields. Begin with five young men at university, and later on it's become great work. 5,000 missionaries being sent out. There is a book called If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat, written by John Ogre. Anybody read that book before? Only one, Pastor. Okay. Yeah, so in the book, one of the testimony is that there is a new believer called Bob, and he asked John, asked John about how to pray, and is this true that God will answer prayer? And so John encouraged him to choose a country and pray for the country. So Bob chose Kenya and pray for it and find some news on internet and try to pray. And then one day he met an American lady. She was from Kenya, and invite him to go to Kenya to visit. To make the story short, he visited one time and then saw a lot of kids shouldn't die if they have the vaccine. So after we returned back home, he wrote letters to the manufacturer to send the vaccine to Kenya. And then after a while, they invite Bob to go back for a celebration because he saved a lot of life. And during the celebration, the governor drove him around the city, and then Bob was curious. There is a building, and he asked who is in that building, living in that building. And the governor said that those are all the people who are against the government. I put them in jail. And Bob said, oh, that's not right. Even they have a different opinion, you shouldn't put them in jail. After we returned back to the state, and what happened is the Department of Defense called Bob and asked him, did you go to Kenya recently? And Bob said yes, and then the Department of Defense told him that the governor in Kenya actually told them that it was Bob who told him to release all the political that are against him. And Yeah, so I think Bob has learned a big lesson about prayer, and it is how powerful it is. And prayer is very important to all of us who believe in Jesus. And when we pray, we say, in the name of Jesus Christ. And in the Great Commission, it says that all authority on earth and in heaven belongs to Jesus. And that's why it's so powerful when we pray in Jesus' name. And yeah, so we should ask God for wisdom. According to James 3:17-18, it says that, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Christian who being a peacemaker in their workplace or at school will be far more effective in their gospel witness in the long run. Some Christians share that they had been able to help other colleagues, whether Christian or not, go through hard time. At your workplace or at school, your colleagues may enjoy talking about their luxury lifestyle, such as top model cars, fashion, or going drunk at happy hours after work. We may walk alongside colleagues who hold different values. Do we dare to stand firm on our faith to God, even among non-believers who are our friends, our classmates, or our colleagues? By showing love, respect, and dignity, some Christians find that colleagues begin to open up and trust them. If your church is having an event, such as a Christmas celebration, volleyball game, potluck supper, invite your colleagues or some friends. If they disagree with you, continue to show them respect and friendship. As you make effort to get to know them, they will want to get to know you and what you are all about as well. For some of us, your career field is your mission field. See what Jesus saw, do what Jesus did. Jesus set us an example that he went into the crowd, helped the needy people with compassion. Moreover, Jesus cared about their salvation. Do you see people around you need Jesus? It is estimated that over 30 million people worldwide will die without knowing Christ. You may check Joshua Project on website. They have all the statistics. How can you help them or share with them the gospel? The needs are so overwhelming. What can I do? Remember Michelle's testimony in the video. I hope your heart will stir to make a difference in the harvest. You see, when we begin to see people as Jesus saw people, it makes all the difference in the world. When we see people as Jesus saw people, it will cause us to take responsibility to pray for them, to go and tell them about Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to us and die for our sin on the cross so that we can call you our Father. And thank you for giving us a new life and get to know you. And I pray that every one of us here will continue follow your footstep, see what you saw, did what you did, do what you did, and pray how you pray for the lily people. And I pray that before you come, we will be a royal steward to do what you give us to do, the Great Commission, to preach the gospel to all nations, not just our community, but all over the world, because the harvest field is so huge. But we trust you. You will use every one of us, and I pray that you will continue the work. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So Timo is sharing with the Chinese Sunday School, so I don't think he's coming back for a response song. So we're just going to skip that. And we will go straight to prayer. Since we've been talking a lot about prayer, let's spend some time praying for the needs of our church, for the needs of our community, for everything that goes on. So will you pray with me? Lord, we come today and we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us, Lord, this sun that shines and reminds us of your goodness sometimes. And Lord, we pray that in this heat, you would look after those who aren't ready for it. Lord, we know that it is a danger to some, so be with them. Father, we pray for all those in this church who have problems